A reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, starting at verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Mom. Good morning. Will you all please pray with me? Almighty, ever-loving God, please let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of the hearts gathered here and at kitchen tables and couches and armchairs be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Glenmar, what's up?
Not much.
It's wonderful to be here after so many years away. My name is Alex Thomas, and I am a proud member of Glenmar Preschool's class of 1999. Some of you might remember me singing very loudly in rental vans on many a mission trip, or maybe preaching a sermon about the Trinity of all things on Youth Sunday. Life has taken me quite a lot of places since then, but with one direction of eventually going into ministry. When I started seminary in 2017 and showed up here asking for Glenmar's support, you all responded with open arms. It's an absolute joy to receive such wonderful encouragement from the congregation that nurtured me so well all those years ago. The last time I was scheduled to preach in a church was March 8th. I was interning at a small church in North Carolina as I was finishing up school, and I woke up that Sunday morning with a frog in my throat. I felt awful, like I might have had a fever, but I didn't want to leave my supervisor hanging, so I showed up in the sanctuary 15 minutes before the service, went right up to her, and said in a very croaky voice, "I'm pretty sure I have the flu, but I can do this." Without missing a beat, she raised her arm up, pointed to the front doors, and said, "Get out." I hope that'll be the only time in my life I'll ever find myself forcibly removed from a church. But she was right to send me away. Over the course of the following few days, as I sat on my couch, wrapped up in a blanket, I got a series of emails from my school saying that everything was to be canceled, and then I read in horror the news that the coronavirus was making its way through our communities. Just to be clear, I'm 90% sure I didn't have the virus, and I certainly don't mean to make light of our situation. Things are very much still scary. We've just received reports that 200,000 children of God in our country and 1 million children of God around the world have died. Loving our neighbor right now looks like committing to some truly odd practices, watching church services from a laptop or TV screen at home, wearing a mask, having you folks in here sit more than 6 feet apart, preaching behind a glass box, and generally being physically distant from one another, which I'm sure we can all agree is not how we're meant to live. Church has become weird. This is the first time I've been inside a church since March 8th. Nothing is normal. Well, there's one thing that hasn't changed. Pandemic or not, there's always the church calendar. We're still in ordinary time, even though these are far from ordinary times. The gospel text on the lectionary today is from my guy Matthew, or at least his version of it, and is the story known as the Parable of the Wicked Tenants. Takes the cake for me on the list of parable titles. This one really stands out for a number of reasons. A lot of the other parables are about seeds, or lost coins, growing things, or finding things. This one, of course, is a teaching on the kingdom of God like all the others. It wouldn't be a parable without that. But the parable of the wicked tenants takes a disturbing turn with all of the violence and the murder, especially when we pick up what Jesus is putting down. There's a particular way this is usually interpreted, starting with the landowner being God. God planting a vineyard calls back to Isaiah, which in chapter 5, verse 7 says, "The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." The tenants that God entrusts the vineyard to are Israel's leaders, who God leaves on their own to care for the people of Israel, aka the vineyard. Then, when God needs to collect the fruit, the produce of the vineyard, which we might take as faithful obedience on the part of the Israelites, God sends trusted servants. These brave, devoted people are God's prophets, our guys Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, etc. They do quite the thankless job. Israel's leaders don't listen to them. In fact, they beat, stone, and kill them. A peer of mine in seminary once said that she hoped the prophets had a decent support group, and I really hope so too. So then, after all that, God still expects the vineyard to give God some fruit. And amazingly, God doesn't respond in kind to the tenants. God doesn't retaliate with further violence. God never gives up on Israel. So God sends God's beloved son. And woof, what do the tenants do to him? Reject him and kill him. Sound familiar? That son is our very own Jesus Christ. Jesus keeps telling the disciples what's going to happen to him, and they never seem to pick up on the hint. All in all, this parable checks out for me. It makes a whole lot of sense. I get it. We can't hope to produce fruit for the kingdom if we miss out on Jesus. But one thing remains a mystery to me: the watchtower. Why would God / the landowner build a watchtower in the vineyard? God doesn't end up using it. And besides, God doesn't need a watchtower. God is always with us. So then, who is the watchtower for? Maybe it just adds some nice flavor and texture to the story, but I think the watchtower is for us. The tenants don't recognize the servants as God's prophets because they forget about the watchtower. The tenants don't recognize the landowner's son as Jesus because they don't use the watchtower. What's at stake here isn't necessarily greed or ignorance or an inability to listen to God, although that's definitely going on in the background. No, the super crucial point is that the tenants, aka Israel's leaders, and the disciples too, because they totally misunderstand the story, none of them recognize Jesus. They don't see him for who he is. They could have seen him coming from miles away from the watchtower, but they miss him, and that's the real problem. I'm no expert on watchtowers. I'm pretty certain I've never been inside of one, but I do know my music, and one of the greatest songs of all time is about a watchtower. Jimi Hendrix, at my exact age, recorded All Along the Watchtower in 1968. It's one of those songs that grabs you. The incredible guitar, his singing is awesome, and the melody is great. It's only after hearing it maybe 100 times I thought, wait, what is he saying? What are the lyrics about? The song was actually written and originally performed by Bob Dylan, and he reportedly loved what Jimi Hendrix did with it. Part of the lyrics actually sound biblical. There's this part at the end about princes and barefooted servants. All along the watchtower, princes kept their view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. That's taken straight out of the book of Isaiah. Turns out you can plagiarize scripture. So the watchtower in this song is a biblical image. What's going on in the song is different than what's going on in the parable of the wicked tenants, but the watchtower looms over both. In the song, we've got these two characters, the joker and the thief. It's implied they seem to have a solid grasp about what life is really all about. It goes, "No reason to get excited," the thief, he kindly spoke. "There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us stop talking falsely now, the hour's getting late." At the end of the song, they approach the watchtower. Outside in the cold distance, a wildcat did growl. Two riders were approaching, and the wind began to howl. And then Jimi Hendrix sings, "Hey," but I really should not imitate Jimi Hendrix. So we can certainly see the joker and the thief as prophets, or Jesus, coming to collect the produce of the vineyard. Here's the thing, though. They weren't sent by anyone. They're coming of their own volition, much like us as we commit to the Christian life. They're coming to a place of changed perspective. I should mention, they're coming to a vineyard that hasn't been destroyed. The vineyard is still going strong, even after all of the violence. There's no start over. We're forever invited to grow the fruit of the kingdom. The church for 2,000 years has been a steady watchtower for us. We try to grow the fruit of God's kingdom here and keep a lookout for Jesus, do we not? The disciples make themselves out to be these new tenants of the vineyard, people who won't reject God's Son. We try our best to carry on that spirit all these years later. And we're always inviting others to join us. I'm reminded that God doesn't originally entrust the vineyard to a single tenant. It's a group of people. And even in All Along the Watchtower, the joker and the thief are buddies. Caring for the vineyard isn't a job for just one of us. It's a communal effort. Recognizing Jesus in all of life from the watchtower is a job that requires diligent attention, and we need each other for support. Right now, as we're deep into a global pandemic, the church can't be the type of watchtower that we're all used to. Is it even physically possible to stand in a watchtower together and stay 6 feet apart? Not all of us can safely worship in the same space. Keeping watch and looking out for Jesus has never felt so strange. The church is meant to be a community. But it's hard to stay connected when we can't see each other's faces through the masks, when we can't hug or shake hands after a service, when we can't sing together, when the light of our computer screens wears on us after we politely remind someone to turn off their background noise on Zoom. I keep thinking I'll eventually get used to all of this, but I'm not. I'm not used to watching church services online. I'm not used to singing my favorite hymns by myself. I'm not used to the church's doors being locked tight. It sometimes feels as if the watchtower is closed for good. After I got thrown out of church on March 8th and started to get panicked about the pandemic, I wondered if I had lost sight of Jesus. Maybe I couldn't keep a proper lookout until a vaccine came out. And then, in the middle of the lockdown, I remembered, the church isn't a place. It isn't a building. The church is a people. It's us. The vineyard doesn't stop growing fruit, and it will never stop growing fruit, even when we have to cancel all in-person interaction and go mostly online. As the leaves change colors this month and I start to smell the crisper, cooler air, I'll be reminded that the seasons haven't stopped either. Not everything has dramatically changed. And besides, I didn't get thrown out of church. I got thrown out of a little building with some pews and stained glass windows. Jesus doesn't live in sanctuaries. I climb into the watchtower and see Jesus in all things whenever I recognize the face of Christ in others, even through the masks. We're all in the watchtower together whenever we worship. As I sing along to hymns on my couch, I'm not actually singing by myself. None of us are. It's true that we're worshiping miles away from one another through screens, but we never worship apart. We're also in the watchtower whenever we recognize Jesus on our own, when we pray or read the Bible by ourselves. Whenever I pray, I try to remember at that very moment there are probably thousands, if not millions, of other people around the world praying at the exact same time to the same triune God. We all take our places along the watchtower and point at Jesus whenever we spot him. It can feel impossible to do that when we literally can't be around each other, and yet, with God, all things are possible. Definitely just pull to Bob Dylan and plagiarize the Bible. Speaking of Bob Dylan, not everyone initially loved All Along the Watchtower. One critic said, Bob Dylan has a lot to answer for because after a while he discovered he could get away with anything. He was Bob Dylan and people would take whatever he wrote on faith. So he could do something like All Along the Watchtower, which is simply a mistake from the title on down. A watchtower is not a road or a wall and you can't go along it. To that person, I say, life must not be very fun with such little imagination. When I imagine a watchtower, I think of a lighthouse with a long spiral staircase on the inside. You have to get to the top somehow, right? And I doubt watchtowers have elevators. So, from every stair along the staircase, there's a different place for someone to stand or to sit. There's room for all of us along the watchtower, even in the middle of what seems to be a never-ending, terrifying pandemic. We may be a few stairs apart with masks on, but we're still inside together. And our watchtower has windows everywhere so that all of us can search hard. Thanks be to God that we can keep watch in a tower supported by the cornerstone of our faith, Jesus. We won't reject him when he comes. We'll show him the fruit we've grown in our vineyard, even during this wild time of pandemic. He'll know about it already. Jesus doesn't need to keep watch from a tower like we do. Jesus is always with us. From all along our watchtower, it'll be clearer than ever to see that Jesus is everywhere, if only we keep lookout together from 6 feet apart. Amen.